Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We adore you. We magnify you. Thank you, Master. Breathe upon this service tonight. Thank you for all the testimonies we have received. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise. Please take your seat. I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus. And I'm grateful to God for what we have received so far by way of testimonies. One thing that we know is that testimonies bring instruction. And I know that many of us have been instructed. One thing about God's teaching is for the profit of man. I want you to be very clear. Organizing a meeting like this, we don't do them because we are looking for assignment to do. The work is already too much. Very intense. I was in a minister's conference this morning in Port Harcourt. Yes. And I am here right now for this meeting, commanding the day and the night. Healing and deliverance service tomorrow. And the journey continues. So every time we have the opportunity to be in a meeting like this, let us place very high value, trusting the Lord that the time will not be wasted. This evening, I want to speak on the Solomon financial order. The Solomon financial order. That is, financial explosion after the order of Solomon. Our objective is to understand financial explosion after the order of Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and in verse 23 and 24, 1 Kings 10, 23 and 24. Since I don't have a screen here, you'll be very, very fast so that the camera don't see me turning. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 15. 14 and 15. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Beside that, he had of the merchant men and of the traffic of spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. Weight of gold that came. Like our sister just testified, there are some who go for gold. There are some gold come for. That is the order, the Solomon order. Where what other people look for, begin to look for you. There is a brother who was doing some business before that wasn't clean and tidy. When the Lord convicted him, he abandoned that business completely. He said he had school fees of children to pay, several things to do. And that was doing it from that business. But that business was only enough to pay the school fees, enough to do these things. It was the money that was coming, he couldn't see where it was going. So he left it completely. And he said, Lord, I'm in your hands now. I want to do things correctly. So he began to do the things correctly. He sat one day and a business opportunity called for him. Can you do this? He said, yes, I can. Long story made short, He started to do that one very tidily. School fees is not a problem now. It is taking care of people in millions. He said, I don't look for job anymore. Job looks for me. Can you do this kind of job? No. Look for somebody else and give him that one. If you want to give me any job, it is from 9010 figure and above. Thank God there is a witness in the house here also. The order where, like God's servant Bishop Oyedepo said, the order of excess without stress. Where things are abundant without struggle. Now, why does God want to commit massive wealth, massive financial resources into the hands of his people? Massive. I have three reasons. There will be more. Number one, he wants to commit massive financial resources into the hands of his people. One, so he can spread his cities, that is kingdom, around the earth without stress. So he can spread his cities, spread his kingdom around the earth without stress, with massive resources. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible said, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities, true prosperity, shall yet be spread abroad. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 to 3, and then verse 13, it says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I'm holding, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. Then verse 13. He said, I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct his ways. This man that I am committing money, into whose hands I am committing this money, he shall build my city. He shall let go my captives. Not for price, nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Somebody say a loud amen. He shall build my cities. So, the kingdom spreads. In the minister's conference, I was ministering in this morning. The pastor, the bishop was introducing me, said, this man of God is very, very busy. For him to be with us this morning, it's a lot of sacrifice. He's working in Nigeria and working all over the world. He has been in Kenya, he has been in Ethiopia, he was in London. Very soon he will be in America. He didn't even remember Canada and so on. These movements are massively financially intensive. And then you come to the crusade, you didn't take an offering. Do you understand what I'm saying? You went all the way to Canada. You dropped at the airport and entered the car straight to the meeting. That is a way, traveling that way is different, right? The normal way to travel is that you entered one flight, either you landed in London, stop in London, or stop in France, or stop in, and then connecting flight. and then maybe lay over for 2 or 3 hours. Connection. Maybe you miss the flight. Maybe at the end you miss the meeting. Get there too late. And then you preach to the people free of charge. In this meeting, they were even complaining. He said, we couldn't even see you. Even people who want to give prophets offering had no time to meet you. That shows you why you went there. And God is in need. What we are doing now, how heaven wishes that 1,000 people will be doing that at the same time. Why someone is heading towards Hong Kong. Somebody is heading towards China. Somebody is heading towards South America. Massive mega crusades. With churches being built and being planted. I believe if Jesus tarries to come, the glory dome kind of sanctuary can be multiplied around the earth. So this is what God is endeavoring to do. He said, my kingdom, I push my agenda. Massive resources. There are people seated here. In a short time to come, only you will take over a whole crusade. That is everything from flight, from crusade publicity, from venue, from purchase of church building facility, to everything, every single thing. Enough resources will be in your hands and it shall be done. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. Please take your seat. Why is God planning to give his people? See, I am so convinced that heaven is over ready. Men, women. So he can spread his six is number two. It's connected to number one. So he can summon and make demands on whatever resources he desires per time. God can summon, he can make demands on whatever resources he desires to utilize per time. He can summon them. He can summon it. He can make demands. In Mark chapter 14 verse 12, all the way to verse 14, he gives us an example. He said, at the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where will thou that we go and prepare that thou may eat your Passover? And he sent forth 2 of his disciples and said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? That is demanding at will. And he will show you a large upper room already furnished and prepared. Make the place ready. Landlord, he's the owner of the universe. See, I want to commit my things into the hands of my children. So whenever I want to summon this one per time, or utilize this per time, or make use of this per time, it will not be an issue. You know, we went to Wembley Arena, right? For the London conference. It's one of the most hostile conference venues we ever used. Some number of people that must book in or something registered before you have come for the conference, but you must show that you registered, this and that and that and that. People came from distances, they were turned back. From Switzerland, France, we paid, not at the point I told them, I said, tell them we are not using here free of charge. Supposing, and I hear that, I think it was for the government before, but it became privatized or something, and individual and organization owns it now. Supposing it was you who own it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the way I want us to think. Supposing you are the one who owns the place. and they say that God wants to use it, you are not even negotiating money. It's a matter of how much space do you want. It's a matter of everything is available. It's a matter of open up the place. And very soon, in the name of Jesus, the church will begin to buy up such facilities. Members of the church, children of God, people listening here, people connected around the world, they will, those kind of places will come up for sale. And will say, we are interested, and buy them up for the sake of the gospel. Say the loudest amen. Take your seat. So that Jehovah can summon any resource he needs per time, anywhere in the world, because he has committed it to the hands of his children. Finally, and you remember the cult donkey tied, Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 3. You go into the street when they drew near unto Jerusalem. And they were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and he called to it her, loose them, and bring them unto me. The master has a need of them. Loose them. That is, I need this one and I want to use it. Done. Last year, Nigerian Fellowship of Evangelical Students, NIFES, they want to use the Glory Dome as a conference center. And we are to accommodate the students. What do they need to do? Nothing. Come. They can't say that for National Conference Center. The conference center in Rajasthan, they can't say that. They can't say that for anything. Dr. Panam Persipal is trying to have a program. And it's a program that is targeting, helping people that have been displaced in the Northeast. He's from that side. And so on and so forth. It's more like a something concert, he said. They had some people that are with him. And they said that they want to use the Glory Dome venue. I said, all right, you are welcome. After we have said and I've been able to arrive at a date they can use, you see, the organizer said, I should ask you, what will it cost us to use here? I said, tell them nothing. That is, diesel that will be used. Let me not tell you our NEPA bill now. In this place. Let me not tell you our NEPA bill so that it can calm down your heart. Our power bill. Or we are working on something. But I'll talk about that later. So that we'll stop wasting money. Because for me, that is wastage. I mean, the power bill can build a church. That is, it has built a building for plenty of people to worship on Sunday. That is one bill. So they are saying, so what do we pay to use the plan? Nothing. He said, I said, tell them nothing. Once the program date arrives, just show up. Program venue, you pay for the sanctuary, you pay for sound system, you pay for light, you pay for everything, you pay for everything. Just carry your bag and your Bible and just come. That is the kind of thing God wants to do. So that any venue on earth, any location on earth, he can decide that I want to use it. And the custodian of such a place is his own, if necessary. Or is connected to somebody who is his own. They said, here is it. God wants to put those things in your hand. Medical and dental council, they want to hold their program. Feel free, you are welcome. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Very soon the Area 1 church will become such a venue where many of these things can also happen like that. We are working on certain things to bring it to a certain state. Hallelujah. Thirdly, God. Why does he want to commit massive resources into the hands of his people after the Solomon order? Thirdly, so he can literally control the resources of the earth through his people. Literally. I believe that God wants to literally control the resources of the earth. I'm sure there are people who are not here who are connected right now. Are we on? Why do I say so? In every generation, the children of the kingdom control the resources of their generation. The generation of Abraham. Genesis chapter 13 verse 2. Genesis chapter 24 verse 1. 24 verse 35. 13 verse 2. 24 verse 1. 24 verse 35. In the generation of Job. Job chapter 1. Verse 1. To verse 3. He commanded. He was the greatest of the men of the east. In the generation of Solomon, King Solomon exceeded the kings of the earth. He controlled the wealth of his time. And I believe that the case shall not be different in our generation. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. The greatest of men and women are coming out of this place tonight. Is there anyone like that? Say louder amen. Anyone like that? Shout the loud, most amen. What are the keys to the Solomon financial order? Number one is love for God. Passionate love for God. And Solomon loved the Lord. That was the qualification that gave Solomon's such a realm above his contemporaries. First Kings chapter 3 verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Love God until the devil knows that you love God. Love God until your haters know that you love God. Listen to this. Don't forget it for as long as you live. When your love for God exceeds your love for money, the money becomes your servant. Sit down, don't worry, just sit down because you're writing. When your love for God exceed your love for money. When your love for God exceeds your love for things, things will become your slave. The things that others struggle for will begin to serve you. We have been to crusades before where three planes are waiting for us at the same time. Three. One, somebody sent this one. Somebody sent this one. Somebody sent this one. And not necessarily members of the commission. Not necessarily. One time when there was three, two were not members of this commission. Who sent the plane? Take your seat. When we went to Jalingo, somebody sent his plane to carry us for the crusade. When there were more people to go to Jalingo, he said, can the plane drop us and return back and pick the rest? Like taxi cab. like taxicab, free of charge. Just prove to God that your love for him is stronger than your love for things. There are people who are not here now, who should have been here. But maybe this meeting is not serious enough. But maybe there were important money meetings. Important money meetings that they had to attend to. How you direct your time is a confirmation of the direction of your love. What you do with your time, what you do with your resources, is a confirmation. And Solomon loved the Lord. Before Solomon began to love the women, his first love was the Lord. He loved the Lord. Love for God that is reflecting in the time you spend with God, the time you spend with his word, where you direct it. See, most of the millionaires and billionaires we see in this world, most of them are people who don't know God. So people think that to be a billionaire means be unserious with God. No, sir. They are not pattern, they are not scriptural pattern billionaires. God is planning to raise you as a pattern billionaire. There are some already raised, a couple already raised. Billions. But yet can't miss a service. Can ask any meeting to go to hell if it clashes with their commitment with God. There are some already raised. One young man that God raised, he goes on rugged physical evangelism into neighborhoods. That is one-on-one evangelism. With money in the bank in many zeros. Are we okay? All right. I'm a bit distracted. Finish it. Yes. Plug it back. Plug it back. Okay. Oh, the other fan has dislocation of the neck. Cervical transection. Sorry. All right, please, let's go down. Just leave the fan. We can take it to the neurosurgeon later. Praise the Lord. Now his friends are saying, people are afraid of being kidnapped by going out physically to, and you are going, nobody has kidnapped you, who will follow you. God is trying to raise pattern billionaires. Don't ever take any unbeliever who has money as a pattern. I don't care how much they have, they are not patterns. God is looking for pattern men and women who will be financially loaded according to scripture. It is love for God. Number two is the heart of sacrifice. The heart of sacrifice. 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 4. Solomon loved the Lord, and then he went to Gibeon to offer to sacrifice there. That was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings until God showed up. The heart of sacrifice. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, where David wanted to offer a sacrifice, they gave him a land free of charge. He said no. And the king said to Arana, nay, but I will surely buy it of you at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing. I will not offer anything to God without cost. Sacrifice is the capacity to inconvenience yourself for the comfort of the kingdom. Inconvenience yourself for the convenience of the kingdom. Sacrifice is the capacity to deprive yourself, if need be, in order to relieve the kingdom where necessary. Sacrifice says nothing is too big to give my God. And nothing is too good to give to my God. Sacrifice says, only the best is good enough for the King of Kings. Only the best. Only the best. Only the best is good enough for the King of Kings. That's sacrifice. So people that are in this realm are very scarce. In Psalm 132, verse 1 to 5, David in his own said, Lord, remember David? How he swear, and all his afflictions, how he swear unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, I will not go up into my bed, I will not give sleep to my eyes, or slumber to my eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Israel. That's sacrifice. I won't sleep, I won't rest, until I find God a house. Sacrifice. People in that realm are plenty. See, when you come to the point where God has blessed you and you drop $100 million without stress, it doesn't shake you. You drop billion, it doesn't shake you. You are at peace, at ease. Some may kill themselves if they hear. But you are in such a realm with God. You know, when this church started newly and at those early days, if you want to give 1,000, I mean 10,000, come on, 1 million, come on. I will never mention a range. The highest range I will mention is the range I am sure I can be inside. I will never take an offering as a pastor. I say, how many of you can give 1 million in those days? Now we don't do that anymore. How many of you can give 1 million? How many of you can give anything from 500,000? And then you are there. And then you are struggling to bring out 1,000 from your pocket. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. You may not be small. But for me, I will never, if it's 1,000 that I have in my pocket, that is what I will call. How many people can bring 1,000? Or I make it a range from 1,000 to 10,000. Then I am inside the range. I am inside that range, but I must be inside. I must be inside at the top level. That is the highest amount called. I will be inside. If I have to empty my account, I will. And God saw those things. And God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Am I communicating? If you want God to bring you to the realm of a sworn blessing, you must come to the realm of a sworn commitment. You know the kind of sworn commitment I'm talking about? I will not give sleep to my eyes. That is almost like an oath. I will not lay on my bed until I build God a house. Almost like a note. Many years ago, I determined that what I have not spent for God, I won't spend on myself. Any amount I haven't spent for God or spent for His kingdom, I can't spend on myself. I saw a shoe of 7,000 then. It was too costly for me to buy. But within the same week, I spent 50,000. At that time, I said, have I ever put 7,000 into an offering before? At once. And I want to use the 7,000 to buy shoe. But now I am putting into offering what I cannot even use to buy 10 shoes. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Somebody say a loud amen. This is what demarcates people. There are people trusting God for God to make them rich, wealthy, influential. For the sake of I am a Christian millionaire. No. There is a different emphasis of God. God wants to bring us to a point where between us and Him, there is nothing withheld. God, I can't withhold from you, and you won't withhold from me. If you need it, and I have it, Lord, you can't need it. That was the realm of Solomon. And if I can tell you, it will break you through. Just break you. My wife and I, during the construction of the Glory Dome, Miles Morrow of blessed memory said, any testimony or teaching or instruction you are hearing over and over and over, anytime you are beginning to get tired of hearing that same thing, that is when you have started hearing it. That is when it is dawning on you. I hear what I'm saying here today. During this Glory Dome construction, money we gathered for years, because I believe in the principle of reserve. Don't spend everything. So you are putting this aside, putting that aside, putting that aside. Well, put aside maybe for reinvestment when necessary. Put aside. And then the construction began. My wife and I looked at a particular item. Like I said, the roof is an item, the cutting wall is an item, the foundation is an item, and so on. We said, can we take this? Can we take this particular item? We agreed to take an item that was important. We collapsed two accounts. At that exchange rate of that time, it runs into many zeros. Let me spare you because we are online and everybody is hearing. I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, how long it took for that thing to be gathered is not how long it takes today. No. No. I can also not tell you how long today for the salvation of the heart of people. We went to the Port Harcourt. We went today. I asked some pastors to go with us. Again, we went private and it wasn't paid for. So I asked some pastors to go with us. So about four of the pastors, one of them, he was informed to go with us, one of the sons of the prophets. He said once he got that information last night, he couldn't sleep till morning. He said, after commanding the day, he tried to sleep, he could not. He was awake till morning, thinking of, so I'm going to go with my father in the Lord like this and this, how we are going to travel. So after we went, on our way back, they decided that they would take picture with me and about four of them. So they took picture. One of them said, can I post it? I said, no. He said, why? I said, it will make some people angry. He laughed. I said, it will make some people very bitter. You don't know, you're very angry. Just spare yourself and spare. Just calm down. He said, let them be angry. It's not inevitable. I said, calm down. Very soon, many people seated here. God will do things that will make some people want to kill themselves. In your life, through your endeavor, through your business, and they can do nothing about it. But God is going to do something in your life that will make some people feel like they should kill themselves. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. The power of sacrifice. After this program tonight, I'd like you to write your own, to enter your own engagement with God. This young man just testified that when he heard about givings, apart from paying of tithe, he began to say, okay, let me do 5% crusade, 5% prophet's offering, and so on and so forth. You see a teacher, you said? And then whatever he gives per month is coming back 100 times. I don't know whether are you sure it's 100 times or 100%? So it doesn't matter what you do for a living. Principles are stronger than principalities. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. If you are a principled person, you must become a principal person. Principled in the realm of finances, you become a principal in the realm of finances. Doesn't matter. Love for God, the heart of sacrifice. You come to the point where there is nothing you can keep from God. While growing up in life and in ministry, I wrote a particular check in many zeros in foreign currency, and I put it on the door, on the fridge or something, on the bedroom and so on. I just put it there on the table. I already tore the check and signed. And I told myself, the day will come where I will give this kind of amount freely to God easily. And the day came. See, anything that is not in your heart to do will never be released into your hand. It must first be in your heart. And you must have the heart to do it. Lord, this is the kind of realm I want to function in. And this is what I will do. If you lift me to this level and you confirm to God that you will do it by starting from where you are. I know of people who started giving 5,000, 50,000, 500,000, and they kept growing, and you are watching it growing. Tight. And then the next thing you see, 20 million. This is just my tithe that just came. And it's just moving. It's just moving. You saw them from scratch. So, if you will do it big, start it small. There is nobody who will do big things with God. Except that he started doing it when things were small. Love for God, the heart of sacrifice. Number three, the power of enterprise. Enterprise. Being very enterprising and resourceful. Wisdom in commerce. Wisdom of trade. Wisdom of investment and reinvestment. The secret of Solomon was not just offering. It was not just giving. That opened the way. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 28 to 29. I hope that you have the Living Bible version, that you read it for me later on. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. and a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150, and so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means? This is so much King James English, so it's a bit confusing at times, but if you break it down now, it says Solomon's horses were brought to him from Egypt, so he imported them, and southern Turkey, where his agents purchased them at wholesale prices. An Egyptian chariot delivered to Jerusalem cost $400, and the horses were valued at $150 each. Many of these were then resold to the Hittite and Syrian kings. That is, a man who had money and didn't know what to do with money was still hustling in the realm of trade. I bought this from here for $150. I am selling it there for $350. So help me buy 1 million of them. Everyone who must be financially strong must be mentally strong. Is it Proverbs 11 verse 15? A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. You need an element of strength, entrepreneurial strength, some level of aggressivity, godly one. Proverbs chapter 40, Genesis 47 verse 7. Joseph brought in Jacob. Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Okay. Can you do... My time here is up. So when you are going to conquer well, you need an entrepreneurial spirit, an enterprising spirit, the spirit that is on alert. Where is this selling low? Where is, are they buying high? What should I sell to buy what and resell? What should I invest? Where should I divest? Where should I reinvest? I prophesy today that wisdom is coming upon you. 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 If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. It was the first verse, that is 47 verse 6. When Pharaoh saw the brothers of Joseph, he said, the land of Egypt is before thee, in the best of the land, make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. That word activity is the Hebrew word kail, men of force, men with a fighting spirit. Let them coordinate my affairs. Am I communicating? I know I prayed for someone's affairs the other day, and what is it? He has gotten money from contract work, and he needs the money not just to lie down there or to wait for the next contract. So he put it into some premium, high premium properties. Already as at the investment time, returns already in 6 months' time should be over $6 million. What's going on? That is, I have picked this money up from here. Instead of it lying down there, there is where something is moving here. Let me, and the building that has not been built, people have already priced and are ready to pay. Maga knows. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let that wisdom come. And I tell people that do things like contract. I don't want to look at contract as a profession. Call it an opportunity. An opportunity for resources to enter your hands that you will use to do the main things of your life. That you will use to do the main things you are to do with your life. That you will multiply in banking or in agriculture or in housing or in properties or in finance or in oil or gas, whatever, that you will deploy for multiplication. That was how Solomon was. The kings passed and they came. And as these things came, and that is why the Spirit of God will be relevant for many of us. Because it will lead you to know where to put the money. Lead you to know where to pull out the money from. Lead you to know where to multiply it from. And I prophesy that entrepreneurial spirit, enterprising spirit is released upon you in the name of Jesus. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Number 7 is the release of potential. That is identifying your area of strength and investing in your area of strength. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and in verse 23 to 24, the Bible said, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present. They brought his present. Now, so Solomon identified his potential with words, wisdom of words. He realizes an area in his life. So he decided to deploy his time and energy in speaking. And that brought the resources necessary. Listen to this, don't forget. The area of your strength will be the area of your supply. Anywhere you are strong, in that place you will see supply. In America today, nurses, you have millionaire nurses, licensed to run nursing homes and nursing facilities, employing people. Some have employed doctors. And for one reason or the other, it looks to me like there is a challenge in the medical training. Except the one that we will set up by his mercy. We are people administration. Resources administration. Human resource administration. Resource management. You know anatomy. You know physiology. You know biochemistry. You know surgery. You know everything. But now, how do I manage money? Manage people. How do I set up an organization that works and runs? So I was talking to a consultant yesterday. He said he came to my office and about... Is it 2 or 3 years ago, the man we met the other day? 2 years or 3 years ago. He said that the first, I saw him and I said, you are from Equa Church, right? He said, how did you know that he told you to, what's happening here? And you told him, you are sitting before a prophet. Long story made short, God bless you, go get your land. He said he had to go, was it to Saudi Arabia or Israel? to learn medical institutions management after he has already trained as a consultant in his field. He went and learned that, and I'll come to that shortly. Then he exploded. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'll come to that one at the end. What is your area? Where are you strong? Let me give you an example. Many years ago, a woman came to me. She was married. Her husband abandoned her, I think, with about 5 children. She was renting a shop in area 10 or so, UTC area, and could not pay the shop rent. She came to me. And she had heard a message in church in this line. So I told her, what can you do? What do you know how to do? She said, well, I know how to cook. And when she was together with her husband, she said, after she has finished cooking, the guest will almost eat the soup and almost eat the plate. When they finish with the plate, you may not need to wash it. So I said, how many of you have seen people clean plate like that before? I said, all right, why don't you go ahead and start? I pray with her. So she started cooking for sale and packing food in a takeaway pack in aluminium foil from office to office at the secretariat. He said, one person tasted it. He said, and introduced another person. Before long, a bank gave her space to set up a restaurant. She set up a restaurant in the bank. You know the way bankers go to other banks for one transaction or the other. This banker came here and then ate in her restaurant. Said, something like that. Can you establish it in our own? In 3 months' time, the shop she couldn't pay the rent off, she bought it. She said, I didn't do catering in school, but I know it is a strength. There are people here today, there is something that God will show you. There is a strength you have. Something God will show you. And that thing tonight will escalate and explode you. There are some of you to be, it might be online issues. Young man came to me some time ago. He said, this guy was permanently stranded. Permanently. At one time I even gave him a car. I'm not sure he was able to maintain it or something. Just permanently stranded. One time his wife left him, abandoned him for a long time. He said nobody cared that he mattered, including his wife. So his head began to be correct. You know, adversity corrects mentality. So he said, he has seen people on TikTok. I don't know what it is. But he decided to say, okay, let him go on TikTok and maybe talk on TikTok. Whatever. He said, in 1 month, whatever he does, I don't know. He was getting like $1,000. He says, sir, can you convert it? That is 1 point something million. He said, me that cannot get 100,000, even 40,000 a month. He says, sir, I have just rented 5-bedroom duplex. That's another principle that we'll talk about later. And his wife returned. You know, one challenge about women is that they don't like suffering. please be careful the kind of wife you marry. Like the wife of Job that abandoned him. I just returned back from Port Harcourt today. Port Harcourt that I went this morning, Dr. Misenenge was waiting for me at the airport. So I told the pastor, I said, now let me marry. I said, I left home just this morning. You are waiting for me at the airport. How about why? So if I had gone to America, you would have waited for me in London. You would have flown to London halfway. I said, I came to receive you. Oh my God. And the man became very, very happy. Very, very happy. Life is good and it's on its way. Identify your potential, your area of strength. I prophesy to you today. The investment of time, energy, resources in your area of strength. I decree my God and your God will open your eyes to that particular area of your life where God has engraced you, giving you wisdom, giving you talent, giving you ability, giving you capacity. That area where your result and your resources are awakened. I declare your eyes be open now in Jesus' precious name. Say the loudest amen and take your seat. The release of potential. Please don't ever struggle to be like others. We are not all the same. I know a billionaire, the one that I told you gave us his airplane to take us to Jalingo at that time. He has never branched into oil and gas. He has never branched into... He said he stopped government contracts since 1998, according to his own conviction. That he doesn't want anybody to put him under pressure. He's into agriculture. He's into aviation. He's in billions in the realm. Don't just find what is your strength. Number five was the release of... Number five is the release of excellence. Doing everything you do at the highest level of excellence. Everything you do. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 1 all the way to verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 1 all the way to verse 6. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train with camels that had that bear spices and very much gold, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. When the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers, the apparel, the cupbearer. Summary, when the queen of Sheba saw excellence, there was no more spirit in her. A major strength of Solomon, if we are talking of the Solomon order, is the strength of excellence. Quality is a magnet for quantity. Quality is a magnet for prosperity. Quality. Excellence compels abundance. Excellence compels abundance. Anything you do, give people such quality that they literally can't find anywhere. If you serve people once, let them not leave you. Let them not leave you. In fact, let them introduce you to others. Let the word go round. One of our young men operating a hospitality facility, five-star hospitality facility. He got the book, Career and Workplace Wisdom, and gave to all the staff. They recited word for word. And then he decided to be deliberately excellent. If you come as a guest, depending on your profile, your name is written. As you enter the lift, you see your name. Welcome, Your Excellency, so and so. We are happy to serve you in this place. You step into your room, you see your name. You lay on the bed, you see your name. What you say? You say, what are you talking? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not what I was told. Some of the staff came to appreciate me. Caucasian staff and so on. Thank you. The book is... One of them said, a woman who had been working in hospitality for 20-something years. He said, this is the best book I've ever read all my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the tallest of hotels. Neither is it the widest or the biggest. It could have been maybe one quarter the size of Hilton or less. It's no more than 4 or 5 floors. You have hotels of 20 floors and so on. But today you say, this president was there. Another president went there. Another president went there. The other day I spoke with 2 presidents who head of our church. They were both there together at the same time. They desired to speak with me. Former presidents of 2 countries. I think one was a Korean. Do you understand what I'm saying? Excellence may cost, but it pays more than the cost. It pays more. It pays far more than the cost. That is, you hyperextend. You give it everything you have got. You give it everything it takes. Don't do things shabbily. Don't let people identify you with mediocrity. You take a look at the newly released LA video. If you have not watched it, what are you waiting for? Just take a look at it and see a slight signature of excellence. Above board operation. Deliberate quality. During the construction of this sanctuary, God told me, spare no cost. That is, don't let cost hinder anything. The current work that is going on now, wait until it is finished. There is new air conditioning system going on as well to increase the cooling so that people's heads can cool down. You know, when you are hot-headed originally and then the weather is hot, it might worsen the hotness of the head. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Amen. You are coming to book in a place and they brought Rolls Royce to pick you at the airport. Yes. With driving, come to the airport to pick you. With escort. And then your name is everywhere. You are welcome, so and so. They told somebody the price of the room. He said it's too small. That is, the price should be more than this. That is the level to which you are doing this. This price is too low. It's too low. I want Solomon. The Bible says the Queen of Sheba. The literal translation: she fainted at what she saw. Are these people or these are machines? I don't know how you are going to translate it, but begin from where you are. With the letter you write, with the letter headed, later, with the content, with the composure of yourself, with the comportment of your look. You know that there is a way you look. People will discount whatever you want to say. How you appear is how you will be approached. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every single thing, packaging of yourself, packaging of your product, packaging, whatever you have to present. When the content is good and the container is bad, they can discard all of them. The release of excellence. Number six is the release. And the book I mentioned, if you have not read it, look for it. Career and Workplace Management. Of workplace wisdom. Number six is the release of good management. I spoke about that earlier on. Good management. God is a blesser of good management and is a hater of bad management. He will bless management that is good and he will hate management that is bad. Genesis chapter 2 verse 5. Because there was no man to till the ground, there was no rain upon the earth. John chapter 6 verse 12. Gather the fragments that nothing be lost. I told you of the doctor who had to go and learn medical systems management. How to manage. Because I want to own a private hospital or a private facility. I need to know how to manage people. How to manage systems. How to manage resources. What it takes to handle 1 million naira is different from what it takes to handle $1 billion. You build a bachelor without a building plan. No foundation, no calculation, no DPC, nothing. It is, what do you call a bachelor in English? Shank? Whether it's a shank or shark, and then shanty. It's a shark. You don't need the services of an architect. It will be a waste. You can draw it yourself. like this. Put it here. Put it. Dig the ground here. And put zinc. Draw it here. Here. Put the wood here. You are the architect. You are the builder. You want to build a duplex. It requires more. You want to build a glory dome. You require architects. You require building engineers, structural engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, survey team. Everything is on calculation. Let me tell you something. By the time they finish calculating the horizontal beam, what do you call it? The principal beam, this one that is standing at attention. We had to consult a professor of structural engineers to come and confirm the calculation. So he said that the design has been over-designed, in fact. That if you design for 100,000 seater, especially that gallery, the gallery part can sit like, it's meant to be like 40,000, 60,000 seater, about 50, I can't remember now. That gallery part can sit double of the number it was designed for because of over design. And I believe, and I prefer over design than to under design. Then there is this metal brace that comes under like that. You know, see that one? See that one? This one is already enough, but just you can still put that. It can be aesthetic and it can be functional. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, will you call a professor for a duplex? Even a foreman at times can build some duplex. If somebody who has built very well can build it up, they may not, you know, you understand? So how far you want to go financially is how far you will be ready to go mentally. There are things that may not happen for you, not because God does not want to bless you, but because he knows you are mentally limited to handle a certain range of resources. You won't be able to coordinate your life. You won't be able to coordinate anything. I knew a young man who was coming up very well. God was helping him. But when you come around him, the revelation you get without being a prophet is disorder. Everything is in disarray. People hanging around the office like hangers, Monday till night. No specific assignment. I tell Father, you take this, you take that. Where is it? Who is the accountant? We're not sure. Who is the head of? What's going on? No order, nothing. I know of two such people. Touch millions, possibly billions, crash to nothing. Either you organize or you agonize. It is one choice. Either you organize your life or you agonize in life. Either you organize your business or you agonize in business. There can be no future without structure. You need a future. You want a future, establish structure. So when we talk about good management, we are talking about the establishment of order. This person is responsible for this. This one is responsible for that. There is financial order. This is money that is for investment. This is money that is for reserve. This is overhead. This is recurrent. This is money that is not touchable for anything. There are people who take money that is meant for investment, business money to solve family problems, to send to village for one thing or the other. No. That is not wisdom at all. That is mental bankruptcy. And I can tell people, the people who don't want you to grow because they are attached to your life almost like parasites, they will continue to survive when you fail. If you allow them to make you to fail. For one reason or the other, they will find a way out. They will just find how to survive. Is it not better? If you structure well and organize well, and then your resources multiply, then your welfare budget increases, and then you are able to meet everybody's need around you. Isn't that better than using your capital now to solve people's problem until they run you down? Let them delay gratification. Let them wait for you. Wait for you to grow a bit. Let them allow you to do what you can do at the level you can do now. Good management involves the establishment of order. It has involved the establishment of strategic reserves. That is, you don't spend everything that comes your way. Even if you are not putting the money somewhere, yet not all money is spendable money. There are monies that are reinvestment money. That order is established. Avoidance of waste. Just wastefulness is part of good management. And of course, the avoidance of indebtedness. Avoidance of indebtedness. God has brought so many people under my spiritual covering. Some are members of this commission, some are not. One of the men told me one day, he said, please tell the brethren, they should never borrow from anywhere. Big time businessman. Billionaire. Dollar billionaire. He said it was worth about $1.45 billion before he borrowed. $1.45 billion. That was his worth financially. Before he borrowed to finance a certain asset and to assist. By the time he was through, he had been wiped out of his billion status. And yet hadn't come out of the debt. He said, in fact, at the point, they wanted to ensure he failed, acquire the assets from him, and then push him out. Only God and prayer sustained him. Till today, he said, please tell the brethren not to borrow. It's not. Let us not ask aloud the word. There are those who are preaching on other people's money. There are billionaires and millionaires. They are not billionaires. They are only using other. They just collect. That is not a scriptural principle. Let us not follow earthly and worldly principles and think that it is a principle of success. I know another one who said that since he is a faithful member, committed covenant practitioner, thou shalt lend to nation, thou shalt not borrow. He took it very seriously. Very serious. So he has never borrowed 1 naira from any bank since he started business, and he's in billions. About 2 years ago, he brought me a job offer that he got 140 something billion naira to pray for him. He said you don't even mobilize him to start a job. He has enough money to start. As of today, he can be having 30 something projects at the same time. Different. Do you understand? He said he has borrowed and he will never borrow. The same man said, it is better for God to cheat him than for him to cheat God. So it's better he overpay the tithe than to overcalculate and then didn't pay everything. He said, as for him, he doesn't calculate. This is how much that is. You pay him 100 million. Whether he did the job for 50 million and 50 million is profit or not, what you paid him, all of it is tithing from it. He said, let God cheat him. Can God cheat anybody? So do you understand good management now? So there are some people when they get 10 million, 20 million, 100 million range, they are normal. It is easy for them to handle 1 billion, 5 billion. Oh no, they lose control. It's beyond their mental capacity to coordinate. Their arithmetic cannot handle it. Their planning cannot coordinate it. Do you understand? So the time will come like that doctor. Where you learn certain things, you must not go to a physical school. Everything is online. Everything, you can Google something. I mean, just management principles. How do you run a multinational kind of business? How do you transact across nations? And those kind of things. And then you just educate yourself. The various processes, banking things and all that. And you become educated. And then there are brethren around here who are doing things like that. They educate you. And then you are ready to accommodate 10 billion, 100 billion. And God said, give him that job of 100 billion. He knows what to do. He won't run crazy. He knows the demarcation of the resources. He knows the one that is tight and the one that is deep and the one that is dark. He knows about reinvestment. He knows about the avoidance of wastage. Somebody say loud amen. How many of you are blessed today? I think this particular session seems to be the most impactful so far. This is the kingdom financial stewards. This is the kingdom financial stewards. So please, the release of good management. And then I find out is the power of kingdom, the power of commitment to kingdom assignment. I see Solomon as somebody who was committed to spreading the word of God. What the Bible says, they came to listen to the wisdom of Solomon, all of them, and the wisdom that God put in his heart. Can you imagine Solomon? Can you give me Proverbs chapter 1 verse 1? And let me read it to verse 10. Can you imagine the kings of Arabia? The kings of the Hittites, the kings of Syria, they came and sat down. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. He said, you know what, my friends? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive this instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give stability to the simple is my assignment. For young men, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear. I want you people to be wise. And I can tell you the source of all wisdom is the word of God. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall act. Solomon is preaching the Bible. What we call the book of Proverbs, that is now a book of the Bible where his wisdom communicated. When was the last time you spoke the word to your business associates? When was the last time you led anybody to Christ? I'm telling you, there are billionaires who are on weekly evangelism schedule. A well-known billionaire in Lagos the other day carried a megaphone and went out to the marketplace. How many of you saw that? Went out to the marketplace preaching like we used to do morning cry in the 70s. Preaching in the marketplace. This is a secret. Luke chapter 22 verse 35. When I sent you without spurs and scrip and shoes, whether you are a millionaire, or whatever you are, did you lack anything? And they said they lack nothing. God is looking for a new generation of multi-millionaires, multi-billionaires, that are in the shopping malls sharing handbills, that are in the marketplaces, and they lack nothing. The business will be waiting for them. The business will meet them at the evangelism field. I'd like you to mark this. The time will come when they will look for some of us. So, where are you now? I am in Wuse Market preaching. When you come to so-and-so lane. Alright. I have a job offer for you and I cannot wait. I'll meet you there now. Take. This is a $10 million job we're talking about. You just give me the instruction to release the notice to you. You say, God bless you. Let me finish this evangelism. We'll talk about it later. Job continues. I am prophesying. This is how we said it many years ago. That everybody will have a phone in church. How we said it many, many years ago. And it happened with the speed of light. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. In 1999, we did night vigil before the election. From prison to palace. That was what God gave me as title. Somebody say, are you now prophesying that Obasanjo is coming? I said, no, it's the title of night vigil. He was in prison by Abacha. Came out not too long. Long story, made sure he was out. And he was sworn in. Are you trying to? No. As we are saying now, on your field of evangelism, while you are on duty for God, the phone will ring and they will look for you. If this was the secret of the wealthiest king that ever lived, commitment to spreading the word of God, and also the secret of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, God spoke. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessing him. For I know him. I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. His household, he is going to command his children. He is going to teach and preach to his employee, his workforce, his labor force, and lead them to me. I'd like you to schedule it in your billionaire routine. Billionaire routine. Preaching the word in the office. If you don't know what to preach, just listen to one of the messages. Carry two or three punchlines from it. Your heart for God determines your path in life. Just such nuggets. Lead them to Christ. Go to the market, hit the road. I am not suffering, I'm not struggling. I came out because of you. And I want you to give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody is blessed. This is the Kingdom Financial Stewards meeting that finally changed somebody's life. If you are that one, stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Shout the louder believers amen. Please be upstanding and we shall pray shortly. God wants you to be massively resourceful or full of resources to spread his kingdom. There may be someone here who says, can I have the expenses? or the forthcoming U.S. crusade, Tanzania, Malawi, and so forth. So he can summon the resources at will. And so he can literally control the earth, the resources of the earth. What is your secret? Love for God. The power of sacrifice. Heart of sacrifice. The power of enterprise. The release of potentials. What you are strong in. The release of excellence. Have I mentioned enterprise? The release of excellence. The release of good management. Commitment to kingdom assignment. You will make it. The grace to function in this line that we have heard is released upon you. Would you lift up your hands everywhere you are and let us pray. Lift your hands and say after me and say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. I receive the grace to function in the capacity of your word that I have heard. I receive that grace now. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. Receive the grace. In the name of Jesus, the grace and the discipline to comply with these instructions, Lord, I receive it. Will you do that? Lift your voice and say, Father, the grace and the discipline to comply and run in the line of these instructions, I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' precious name. The Bible said, as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered. Father, I ask for the release of the spirit of wealth. Amen. The same that was with on Solomon. As he spoke to me, the Spirit. That spirit, that grace, that engracement, that mantle, that made it easy for him to remain in that realm. The spirit of this instruction, the spirit of this teaching, I receive an impartation of it right now. Lift your voice and say, Father, I receive the release of your spirit through this instruction. Empowerment unto wealth. I receive the impartation. Now, open your mouth and pray. Oh, my God.
In the name of Jesus, lift up your two hands everywhere you are.
Everyone who is here tonight, in need of surrender to Jesus or rededication. You know you are not living the way you should live. You know God is not happy with you the way your life is. And you want to make it right with God. Would you pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and quickly come to the front here. Anywhere you are. I want to make it right with Jesus. I am not sure that God is happy with me the way I'm living. Quickly, I'll give you the count of 10. And what we have just received, please let your friends know. And I want to open up the meeting. If you have business friends, even if they are from other churches, or rather, they don't go to church, let me say it that way. They don't know God, they don't have a relationship with God. Invite them. Because God uses various things to pull people to himself. Let this also become evangelistic. And if you have any friend you need to talk to, do we have the detail of everyone here? Okay, if it is possible to do some form of registration, I mean just name and number. The reason is so we can forward messages to you whenever we have the next meeting. We'll announce it in church, all right? But you will be the first person. You will have a personal invitation, right? A personal call. Just, we have so and so thing, and you will just be personally invited. I'm sure you know that when a message comes to your phone directly to you, it is different from general announcement from the altar, right? We can do that right now. But those in need of surrender, those in need of rededication to Jesus, quickly come forward and let us receive you. Those in the front here, place your hand on your, God bless you. Quick, keep coming.
I'll live for Jesus.
Keep coming.
I'll live for Jesus.
Let come with me. The Holy Spirit. Are you looking? I'll live for Jesus.
Everybody say, I live for Jesus. Day after day,
I live for Jesus.
Let come with me.
The Holy Spirit.
I will obey.
I live for Jesus.
Day after day,
I live for Jesus.
Day after day,
I live for Jesus.
Let go of me. Place your hand on your chest, all of you, and pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, say it louder, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life, make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, no turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. The grace to live for God be released upon you. Help from above is your portion. In Jesus' precious name, amen.